amidst this amazingly good news that Jesus rose from the dead, did exactly what he said he would. The chief priests, upon hearing the news of the guards, along with the elders, they consulted with one another. And knowing their status, knowing who they are, recognizing the fact that these weren't the civil authorities, these were religious authorities, they especially would have been well versed in Holy Scripture. And so between these two groups, with the chief priests and the elders, after they consulted together, they didn't say, "I think we had it wrong. Our temple was torn in two. Look at Scripture. Do not these things point to Jesus? What have we done?" Instead, they were looking to save their own skin, and supposedly the skin of the guards. "Give them this story so that you won't get in trouble." But in reality, they were feeding them that story so that they could hold on to their obstinacy. Pride is such a destructive vice. So much so that when God himself is ringing the bell, is beating the gong, is taking the 2x4 and whack, hitting them upside the head, they didn't get it. They didn't listen. They couldn't hear. Their heart had been so closed off from God that they held on to the pride that had made its home within them. And because of this, no matter what happened, even if it be the miraculous, even if it never had happened before, still, they would not be in the wrong. And as easy it is for you or for I to go and criticize them and wonder, well, why couldn't they see? How much more obvious could God have been? The question remains upon us who claim to be disciples, believers, followers of Jesus. How many times have we admittedly held on to pride, to say, "Oh, I'm not going to admit I'm wrong. You know, I'm not going to admit I need marriage counseling. I'm not the problem here." Or, "You know, I can stop this addiction whenever I want to. I just haven't chosen yet. No, I don't have a problem with anger. The people just don't have any passion." And all these things that we can hold on to. Why? At the end, why? What's so important for us to hold on to a vice, to that which is not of God, just so that we can say we are in the right? Who says that? The evil one, the devil. "I will not serve," right? Despite the objective knowledge of knowing that God is the supreme good, God is the one whom he came from, he still holds on to the idea, "I will not serve, I will rebel." A futile act. And yet, sometimes in our own obstinacy, in our own pride, We don't want to relinquish that hold. It makes us uncomfortable. It makes us question what we've been doing all this time. And so in order to save face, we hold on to it, even though a bit of us, if not a lot of us on the inside, know exactly that what my friend, my relative, what God is telling me is the truth. I need to change. I need to let go. This day in which we recognize Jesus' resurrection from the dead, these 50 days that we have of Easter, it can be a time of tremendous grace if we let that go. And if we don't know of anything that we need to let go, then we've got to fall on our knees and beg to the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us. Why? Because the good things that God has for you and for me, that when we have this sense of pride in our hearts, we are thereby blocking the voice of God. It is not that God has chosen to withdraw his voice from us. It is that we have turned a deaf ear toward him who has tried to communicate to us. I'm sure you can relate, especially when speaking with your children or other relatives and friends whom you have shared something and they don't want to hear it. I don't want to listen. And you tell them again and again, and it doesn't work. And then you finally say, well, I can't keep doing this. I'm talking to a brick wall. My words aren't reaching. No matter what I try, what I do. And so in that sense, it's like our Lord, who hasn't given up to us, let's be clear on that, but as if our Lord, you know, has been communicating the things that we need to change and do, but we're not doing it. But then we're asking, oh, what else do you have for me? I know that, Lord. I heard that. I have another opinion. Give me something else, God. How about this? And God's going to say, that was my word. That was my word for you. Just like he was trying to do with the chief priests, the elders, the guards. His rising from the dead is triumph over the grave. That was his word to them. And yet still, they held on to that. As pitiful as it is even more pitiful for us who live in the age of the resurrected Lord Jesus. We who know that Jesus is present here, most preeminently in the Blessed Sacrament. Here it is, the voice of God is trying to reach our hearts. And so today in your prayer, as well as mine, we pray to the Holy Spirit, what are you asking of me to surrender? What have I been holding obstinately to? What have I been so prideful that I have not been attentive to your voice? So that indeed the grace that God has for us this day and throughout this Easter season may serve to enrich us.